Well, then let's move, if you're ready, Hans, to the your agenda consultation, how it's going, and your assessment of the current state of play. Are you going to lead off, or is it going to be Alan?
I think just a couple of general observations before I give the floor to Alan. I think we have discussed that we received a very clear message from our constituents, despite the fact that our request for reactions was a very open request. But we did get a very clear response, in the sense that people told us, well, please stop for a while developing all these different wide-reaching standards. Give us a period of calm, and use that period of calm to perhaps go back to the basics and look especially at the conceptual framework, look especially at questions that we've been struggling with for a long time without ever finding a clear answer. Look, for example, at OCI and the meaning of it. And that is exactly what we are intending to do. We just discussed an excellent paper produced by the staff, by Alan, on what can we do in the next couple of years. And we have decided to give priority to working on the conceptual framework with focus on elements, measurement, presentation, disclosure, as you just mentioned, and reporting entity. We have asked the staff to develop a very clear project proposal because we really have the ambition to try to get this job done in the next 4 years and not to take a decade or so. We're only talking about 16 to 20 pages. I think 5 pages a year should be feasible. even though it is very tough and very difficult matter, but it will take a lot of concentration and a very good way of working to get this done. So we'll develop a project proposal in the very near future. It is also clear we have been asked to try to resolve a couple of issues that do involve standard setting, but not necessarily wide-ranging standard setting that would affect the whole world. we have asked the staff to give priority to developing standards level proposals for potential amendments to IAS 41, agriculture, bearer crops, rate-regulated activities, and the equity method in separate financial statements. This is not a guarantee that we will do it, but this is a guarantee that we are going to take a very serious look at it, and that we're asking the staff to develop proposals. This is a general introduction. I think it's better if I give the floor to Alan to get into more detail.
Okay, thanks, Hans. Just by way of background, the paper you've got in front of you, 4B, was actually the paper that the board had a look at when they discussed the way to develop the work plan when we met a month or so ago. And so I just thought it was easy to give you the full paper at face value so you could see what the board discussed. And as the nice part about it is that the board actually pretty much endorsed the whole philosophy behind the paper. So it's not as if I have to modify the thinking now in terms of the presentation. I'm assuming you've read it, the paper itself, so I just want to touch on a few points to emphasise a couple of things. I think it also goes to highlight how related just about every topic we've got on this agenda and coming up in the next meeting of the Advisory Council are, because what I said out in the beginning of the paper is that how we actually undertake the work is going to be just as critical as the topics themselves. And that's partly the strategy review, the interpretations review, and the agenda consultation itself. People said we should be more evidence-based in what we do. They wanted us to also incorporate a wider, more formal network of people involved in the process, standard setters, for example. There's some mention in here about our research capability. And so it's very important for us to think about how we formalise the very effective and quite powerful relationships we do have with national standard setters and other accounting-related bodies, and actually lever or get value out of that, those relationships. And Yael's going to be leading that, involved in that discussion tomorrow, for that's part of the standard setters. And then when we come back next time we meet as a full group, we're going to be discussing the research capability as well. Because it's going to be quite clear from the program that you see here, we can't do it all ourselves. So if I just, I'm not going to talk about the post-implementation reviews because I think we've got a fair background on that. But the technical work plan itself, the board was faced with over 30 topics, so you helped identify some of those topics as well. And one of the most difficult things for our board is to then identify which ones we should develop. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, we talked about due process. Normally that means putting together a formal proposal, and then you basically you put it into a cycle that says we're going to start to develop a standard. Now, what we mentioned before with due process discussion was that by developing a broader research program, the idea is that we can have more topics on there, but research them more to see whether, in fact, we can actually get to a good solution. And Vincent asked a very good question before the break. He asked about what happens about stopping a project, in other words, ceasing. It may well be that we add a project to our research agenda because somebody thinks it's a good idea, and we stop. That you can learn as much, I think, in that process and stop somebody else making the same mistake of researching something by documenting everything you've learnt in a very transparent and open way. So we were faced with over 30 projects, and as Hans said, essentially we always took as a given that we were going to do the conceptual framework. Now, what we've identified in the paper, and I'll modify this just slightly, is that we will almost certainly undertake 5 chapters of the project to get of conceptual framework. So this is in paragraph 30 on page 9. We'll look at elements, so that's the definition of assets and liabilities and revenue and expenses. We do have that in our current existing framework, but there are some criticisms about that, and it's not clear that the framework itself has helped us resolve some difficulties in some of our projects, such as emission trading schemes, rate-regulated activities. Some will argue that it has helped us resolve that issue. Some will say it hasn't. There also, in the case of something as simple as leases, whether or not I've heard of people talk about an interest in a right of use, in the right of use of an underlying asset, and yet our framework only talks about assets, and trying to get some clarification from the framework to help us solve these issues. So clearly we've got some work to do on elements. Measurement, I've heard Hans talk about, it's probably our least satisfying chapter. It just documents that a few measurement bases exist. A very important one is presentation, including OCI and other comprehensive income. And to really, that's getting down to some of the issues we discussed last time about presenting and conveying very clearly how an entity is performed and its position, and having a good understanding of whether OCI has a role and what that role is, and providing underpinnings for that. At the same time, helping us understand and develop much better disclosure framework so that we don't get overload. That's one way of thinking about it. We don't get clutter, which is another way. In other words, we get nice, clear, appropriate disclosure requirements. So we expect each of those chapters to be undertaken. The fifth one would be reporting entity. And we had ceased work on that, but the sentiment at the table, I think, when we discussed it, was that we should just simply restart that chapter. So there'll be 5 chapters we think we'll undertake. A couple of things to emphasise. First is that we expect to undertake the project not as a joint project, but an ISB-only project. But it's very clear that we will need to involve other standard setters in this process because it's important that they buy into the whole of the conceptual framework. We also expect to undertake and develop the chapters together. One thing we did when we started the conceptual framework many years ago, or several years ago, it was going to be sequenced. And as we completed a chapter, we would finish it and then potentially see if there are any consequences we have to go back and look at. I think we think it's probably better to try and develop the chapters together. There are so many interrelationships between these things that rather than get into a sequencing, you know, and I think if I asked Hans and said, well, do one every 2 years, so that's five, that's 10 years, he probably wouldn't be very happy. The third thing is that we're not going to develop the framework, as I like to say, by putting four or five staff into the basement of 30 Cannon Street and blocking out any outside view they have and saying, well, come up with some concepts. We have to ground this in the reality of the types of issues that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. It's not to say that standards-level projects drive the framework, but we always have to ask the question about whether the framework helps us solve a standards-level problem. They're the ones like emission trading schemes. What is a liability? What is an asset for rate regulated and so on? So we're going to try and get our teams at the standards level to work with the conceptual framework team so they can interact. It's a very tricky message to get across because I say that with the wrong tone and people think that we're going to just set the framework driven off transactions. It's not. They need to talk to each other. So that will be something that we're in the project planning phase and to gear up with our staff to get that underway as quickly as we can. As well as that, we have some standards level projects that Hans has already talked about. Now, as he emphasised, these are projects that we will put immediately onto our research agenda. But we're trying to signal in this paper from paragraph 40 on page 12 that some of these shorter term standards level projects, we anticipate from what we do know about them that we won't go through research, produce a discussion paper, develop a full agenda proposal, come back and so on. We think we can accelerate those slightly. There's some excellent work by the Malaysian Accounting Standards Board on agriculture, for example. We've already had an exposure draft on rate regulated activities, and the equity method in separate financial statements is a well-known problem. Okay, we're quite aware of what the issue is. So we think that by doing a small amount of work, we can gear ourselves up and come back with proposals and go straight to an ED as the first step on those. We also think, in terms of priority research projects, my view is that we're likely to need to go to discussion paper phase for emission trading schemes. Business combinations under common control came up this morning. I think it's a widespread issue. Very widespread, reasonably well understood. It'll be a difficult one to get a solution that everybody agrees with. So that's the sort of thing where a discussion paper can really elicit some good views out of that. And because of everybody tells us it's important, we should accelerate that onto our research agenda. Once we know more about it, then we'd come back and have a look at it stands level. Now, if this works out well, we'll end up knowing a lot about a project before we add it to the standards level, and I would hope that we could then develop a standard, in other words, go to an ED and to final in a relatively short period, and we won't be suffering from these adverse variances in terms of timing that we seem to suffer from. We are not aware of, I don't think there's a case where we finished something earlier than we said we would, but there are certainly lots of cases where we've been a bit slower. And so the more prepared we are, we believe the more certain we can make the timetable for people. I raised a question there about a period of calm, because Hans mentioned that in the introduction. Even though, if I said to you, we're going to do five chapters of the framework and five standards level projects, and we're going to start to get our staff to work on them now, that doesn't seem consistent with a period of calm. But each of the projects on the standards level is actually relatively narrow, there's such diversity in practice potentially for business common under common control, for example, that we believe that that is not disruptive in a sense. It's not like a revenue or releases or those sorts of projects. As well as that, we've got some slightly longer term things, and I'm not going to spend much time talking about them. I'll highlight a couple. Discount rates, a lot of people spoke to us about that, and we've got some mixed views on that. Some told us we should not undertake a project on discount rates because we'll create a perception that we're going to try and create a consistent discount rate for everything. There might be very good reasons for us to have different discount rates for different objectives. And if that's what we find in the analysis and we put that on the table and say there's no need for us to do a sweeping project to align the discount rates, then that in itself is actually a good solution. I'm keeping that open because I don't know what the answer is, but that's one of the topics that people want to resolve. Equity method of accounting, extractive activities, intangible assets and R&D. I thought extractive was interesting. April would know more of the detail, but I think we got something like 19 preparers sent us comment letters and 14 said don't touch it, which we took to say I'm fine doing the accounting I've got right now, thank you very much, whereas a lot of users wanted us to have a look at extractive activities. But it became several respondents told us that they'd like to see that as part of a wider R&D intangibles project. So we're keeping that open. We're looking at more research on that. Even though we've had one discussion paper on it, I suspect this is a case where we have to tread very carefully because there are very entrenched accounting practices and quite entrenched views about information that analysts receive. And we have experience in at least one other sector that I'm aware of where once you've got entrenched views, it's very difficult and very challenging to get people to change their accounting and their view of the world. You'll see FICE, or financial instruments of characteristics of equity. And if we're doing a conceptual framework project on equity, it's probably a good idea to think about that at the same time. There are three other projects mentioned in there. Now, so that's our set of things that we're going to be looking at. We will hopefully own those projects and that we will set in place very clear objectives for the research phase. As well as that, from paragraphs 51 on, I've identified three projects that they were important, but people said are longer term. And they are income tax, post-employment benefits, the second phase, or so-called second phase, and share-based payments. A lot of people said they are important, but not necessarily urgent. And the idea of this is we want to signal to people that we are not likely to do anything in the next 3 years. But if you want to go away and do some work on this, we'd be very happy to look at it in due course. What we don't want to do is get 3 years further down the track and find out that we've made no progress whatsoever. So if there are jurisdictions or people who are interested in research on those areas, we'd encourage them to do it, but they do it on the understanding that we're unlikely to have the ability or the interest in looking at that at least for 3 years' time. And then we'll feed that into the next three-year review. Just a couple of things just to wrap up. Sharia-based accounting. There were a lot of people mentioned that. We don't have an expertise on our board, and we think the best thing to do perhaps is set up a working group and have a group range from different Islamic countries help put together some education for our board, and we'll assess that in due course. So we're looking at setting up a consultative group to look at Sharia law and its implications. And the other one was to do with disclosure, which I neglected to mention, and that is, as well as a disclosure framework, and which will lead potentially into standards revisions, we're looking at putting together an international forum. We bounced that idea off you last time, where we think that improvements can be made within the existing disclosure framework. It takes us 2 to 3 years to change a standard usually. So rather than say, well, let's wait 2 or 3 years till we've changed the standard, if we get a group together, there may be ways within the current disclosure requirements that we can get more clarity in reporting. When people understand the tensions between the needs of regulators, auditors, and the preparers and users, for example. At the same time, if the problem is actually in the IFRSs, that will help provide information and input to us as well. So we're looking to put that forum together. Related to that, and it's to do a disclosure and presentation, our board hasn't looked or discussed integrated reporting in a public as collectively together. And similarly, we haven't looked at XBRL in a public space for quite some time. So even though the agenda consultation, people said tread very, very carefully with those two topics, we are going to keep those in mind as we have a quick look at the disclosure sections. So that's a brief summary within time this time for any questions.
All right, any comments or questions on the feedback we've just received? Jim.
Thank you, Paul. I just wanted to pick up on the last thing Alan was talking about, and that's the integrated reporting. We've had some discussions around the council about the IASB's role in this area, and I know that on behalf of the IASB staff, Alan has been a very active contributor at some of the meetings of that IIRC, and I do think that's the right thing to be doing. I was just reading the headlines from the Rio meetings of the in the Financial Times today and the importance that they're attaching to sustainability reporting. I do believe this is going to be the issue of the next 5 years. And I do believe that both this your board, the IASB, and frankly my board, the IAASB, need to be very involved right from the beginning, because what we don't want, I think, is to find that others have some pretty exciting ideas as to how they can integrate the accounting reports and other information and assurance on it, and find that they've gone down a long path without the IASB being involved very early to tell them what is reasonable, both from an expectation point of view and a capability point of view. So I'm encouraged that the board's going to have a discussion. I think it has to be the first of a number of discussions. I recognize that it's still ancillary to the board's main agenda, but it is something I think the board should have very firmly and very clearly on its agenda, and be willing to plan and plot going forward what this must do and what this must be.
Thanks, Jim. Saichi?
Thank you. I think this paper is very well written and very well balanced, taking into consideration of the all the comments made by various stakeholders. And here I want to make two comments on research projects. First, I hope the research will make discussion papers more realistic. In the past, some discussion papers, including revenue recognition, leases, and insurance, were so idealistic and ambitious that they were severely criticized by many stakeholders. And exposure drafts of these projects were much improved, but still went a little too far, most likely because of the legacy from the discussion papers. And re-exposure drafts had to be issued or going to be issued. I'm afraid that this lengthy process had eroded the confidence in the ISB's standard setting ability. In the future, I sincerely hope the research papers will make discussion papers more realistic and expedite the standard setting process, and hence help enhance the confidence in the IASB. My second comment is about the national standard setter's role in research project. Paragraph 20 of the agenda paper 4B emphasizes national standard setter's involvement in research activities, while paragraph 50 lists several identified research projects. My point is that national standard setters' initiatives in research should not be restricted to those already identified projects. For example, in Japan, capitalization of development costs, which is allowed in IFRS but not allowed in both Japanese and US GAAP, is a big issue for some stakeholders. Depreciation of goodwill, which is mandatory in Japanese GAAP but not allowed in IFRS and US GAAP, is another important issue. When excellent research papers are presented by national standard setters on these issues, which are not identified in the list but still very important in local markets, these should be seriously considered by the board, and if the board finds they have global relevance, they should be added to the list in the future. And in this regard, I was encouraged by Alan's previous comments when he was explaining about the due process, that the threshold for this would be rather low. Thank you.
Thanks, Saichi. Charles.
Thank you, Paul. Alan, just a quick question. It's sort of triggered by the point that Jim was making, and one of my hobby horses, both of which are on the longer-term research list, namely share-based payments because I operate in an environment as a public company director where shareholders have got a great deal of say and a great deal of interest in the whole compensation issue, and it's a cause of great angst in terms of people not really understanding. So my question is, what's the criteria or the process by which a project would be escalated to a higher level of import, of urgency, or something that may not have been part of the longer term guidance that you're giving the marketplace, which I think is a very good approach, to actually come onto the agenda?
It's a good question, because I think if you undertake appropriate research, and by the way, that's not a very helpful thing to say, appropriate research, because you're going to say, what's appropriate research? But if you do actually undertake research that involves the users of financial statements and the preparers, you'll start to identify gaps in the information set systems, for example, deficiencies in the information, areas where investors are having to use proxies in particular to get some measures as opposed to getting a direct measure from an entity. You'll start to identify one of the things that we built into the due process and consideration of standards is there are some things that entities are better at measuring and some things that outsiders are better at measuring. And so if there's something, and it could be in share-based payments, where the entity has a comparative advantage in measuring that information, then and investors are struggling to deal with it because they haven't got sufficient information, then you're starting to see the deficiencies. And you go back to the criteria again. The more you start to research, the more you'll find whether, in fact, you do have a problem with investors or whether it's confined to a narrow part of it. One of the things about IFRS 2, the share-based payments, is that I've watched in the Interpretations Committee, we got a lot of very interesting questions. And one of the things I personally struggle with is trying to identify whether this is something that comes up a lot or whether this is a very strange or unusual type of transaction. So a lot of these take place in part of business combinations and special circumstances. And unless you actually go and do a bit of research, you won't identify whether this is something that is systematic in a sense or a general problem, or whether it's something that is a little unusual. If it's the unusual, you probably don't need to worry about putting standard setting resources into that. So I think that without being too explicit in terms of criteria, I think if you go and talk to enough users and investors and preparers, you'll identify deficiencies quite quickly. And you report that information back, this is your evidence, then it will be fairly obvious when you come back to the council, you go through DPOC and others, that people will tell you that we have a problem that needs fixing.
And I think we'll come back to the point you raised, Charles, when we get the report backs from the discussion of due process, because I happen to be in the group that spent most of our time talking about the research program and its integration with the standard setting agenda, the prioritization, that sort of thing. Leo, did you have a question?
Thank you, Paul. First of all, I'd like to echo the comments made earlier about the paper. I think it's a very good paper in on the attendee consultation and the results. Maybe two comments. One is, the paper goes into how this three-year cycle links into the longer term, and I think that's very important. So we would really like to see the board, echoing that in the paper that's going to be released mid this year, which is very soon, so that you don't only see the three-year cycle, but also how this fits into the bigger picture of the program. The second one is Alan, to the framework. The paper still says that the staff is considering to look at reporting entity as part of the framework, particularly in relation to business combination under common control. Our experience is that you can hardly discuss business combination under common control without having a clear view on what you think the reporting entity is. So for us, it would be yes, please.
Just respond quickly to that. That was the sentiment that came up at the table as well, which is why I didn't, rather than just the paper, I thought I'd reflect that view back. In a similar way, when you get to reporting performance, people often like to know whether you're reporting the entity or you've taken entity or proprietary perspective, for example. and the reporting entity chapter can actually might address some of those issues.
Well, I'm taking from the absence of absence of comments to the contrary that the members by and large support the evaluation of the feedback that the board has obviously carefully considered, and the paper lays it out well. I think it's gratifying to see the recognition in that paper of the role that the council has played.
Absolutely.
And I think very clear that we have had an influence in some areas and perhaps not so much in others, but I think the efforts that have been made to document that process are extremely useful overall in terms of demonstrating the relevance of the work of the council. And the key is getting the timing right. And I do think on this one we had the timing right in terms of giving input. So this is an opportunity if people disagree with the preliminary assessment. Certainly now is the time to speak up. I'm certainly not trying to provoke any dissent. Vincent, you wish to make a comment or pose a question?
Yeah, just more of a clarification question. The presentation issue has typically been dealt with in the context of the main financial statements. But if I recall, the presentation that was made by EFRAG in the FASB also recognized the issue of comprehensibility. That was one of the building blocks of how they were looking at the disclosure framework. I was just wondering whether some thought is being given to presentation as well within disclosures, or they see presentation as just being confined to the main financial statements.
I don't want to prejudge the way the board will develop it, but I certainly see it as being as more holistic. So I think it is presentation, disclosures, and the notes themselves should be seen together. There are some questions that I think would be helpful to answer, such as what determines whether something goes on the old, using the old language, on the face, in other words, in the income statement or in the balance sheet, and what information should then be supplement that within the notes. In other words, it's almost placement principles in a way. So I see this as being quite holistic, and that's why we've got presentation disclosure as two chapters being conducted at the same time. The other thing to note too, I hope that you would be pleased, is that the financial statement presentation project, there's a lot of work in there that we believe will be helpful in understanding the presentation of financial statements. Not everything in that project, but certainly some of it I think you'll find is going to be helpful input.
All right, any further comments? So the only part of the analysis that I paused on when I read it was there was an observation in one of the papers along the lines that the request for a period of calm is really a request for predictability. And while I don't disagree, I think predictability is an element of it. My sense from listening to just about everyone calling for a period of calm, I think they meant more than that. I don't think anyone meant it to be a period of inactivity, but rather a change. And I think it's actually reflected in what you're proposing. There is a clear shift, I think, in the mix of standards level activity. Some interesting ideas on research, and I think we'll need some effort to articulate just what we mean by research and how it interacts with standards level projects, which in turn I think comes back to the point about predictability, having some sense of how research efforts will link with standard setting would be important information, I think, to allow stakeholders to follow the work of the board. All right, well, seeing no other cards up, thank you for that feedback. Shall we hold you to it was 4 years and not more than 20 pages, did I hear you correctly, Hans? But that was before we only had four chapters. Maybe we'll give you 25 pages now that there's a fifth one.
Let's see who remembers this promise 4 years from now.
All right, well, thank you for that. Perhaps then we can move on to the last item on our agenda for today.